All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects. All is good in the neighborhood as your Roughnecks got a win. The Sabercats. No, this, what are they, the Sabercats that got a win? And everybody got a win. It's great. Oh, except the Rockets. Hey, let's talk about it. It's The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday in the big city. What?
We just talked about this.
What?
We literally just talked about this.
What did I do?
I'm just glad I'm not the one who threw those shots.
Man.
That's Joel. Those are the words of Joel Blank.
I complimented all the teams that won and the Rockets lost. Where were their shots?
There were no shots.
I don't take shots.
Ever.
Oh, I leave that to my co-host.
Oh, all of a sudden you're innocent now?
Damn right.
Get out of here,
until
pal.
Proven guilty, and I have good. I can lawyer up. I'm good.
Get out of here. I can get Lawyer Dave.
Well, good luck.
AJ almost pushed me in front of a car this weekend. He was like, don't worry about it. We know Lawyer Dave. I was like, bro, what are you doing?
Did we not pay him enough?
You can't get me. Yeah. Oh, man.
We didn't just say push. We said see it through.
Make it happen.
Jeez. Lots to get to.
Is there? Really?
Yeah.
I feel like there is.
I watched UFC.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You're a lie.
You want to bet?
Did you really?
Sure did.
Okay.
How could I miss
I
our freaking
we'll find out
ass kissing PD up front in the right there next to the cage, and I was looking for where you were, and then I saw on Twitter where you were, Nick.
I was three or two rows behind him, basically.
Okay.
It was a good spot. Media coverage for UFC is really good. It's way better than most other sports.
Evidently, it is.
Like baseball, you know where we're at. I mean, you get a good seat in baseball behind home plate, but you're up high. It is a good view of the field.
But
this is the equivalent.
Playoffs in other sports.
You get really put up high. You know, basketball, Rockets media credentials, you get a decent spot. And then, you know, the Texans, it's awful. The Texans have the worst, and I'm not just crapping on the Texans again because I'm a Chiefs fan. The Texans have
taking shots again. Not
the
me.
Texans have the worst spot for media of all the sports because you're literally on the roof. Like it's way too high. You can't see the game.
For the local teams, I've never sat in the media section for Dynamo, but I would imagine you're correct
because it's
there's not a bad seat in that.
No,
stadium.
The Dynamo. The one thing they do is the media that the time I went and sat in the media section. I was towards the end of the field. It's not in the middle.
Okay.
So it's more, it'd almost be like being towards the end of an end zone.
But you're right. For the Texans, you're all the way up on the eighth floor. So
it's terrible.
And I think they moved it up there. It used to be lower. So yeah, it's not the best. It's not the best view. That's why people have binoculars.
Well,
that's why I don't go. Like every year when we don't get credentials, I don't care. One, because it's the Texans. Two, because the seats are awful for the media. I'd rather watch it at home. I get way more out of it.
Well, we can go back to the start of when all the press seating was available, or we can just call Barry Warner. But, football and hockey, the hockey press box is supposed to be way up high so you can watch the play develop.
Mm-hmm.
But they used to say that about football, too. But now, like you said, because of technology, all the cameras and the angles and everything that they give you when you're watching the game on TV, it's actually better in most cases to watch it on TV.
But I get watching the play develop if you're doing play-by-play. But if you're just there covering the game as a media member for radio or a paper or whatever, good Lord, I don't need to watch the whole play develop. I need to be able to see it.
Yeah.
You literally can't see the logos on the helmets. You're that far away. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, every sport is different, but you're right. I mean, the cool thing about where you guys were sitting, and you guys had told me this during the week, but I thought that was just amazing that they give up so many seats that where I come from in the land of, especially in the NBA, and especially when you work for the people that I worked for, all they're thinking about is maximizing revenue. So the thought was, and I literally had to kind of see this through the start of it, which they've done even worse on doing now, is They just wanted to move everybody, radio and TV, up. Home and road, every Spanish radio, English, everything, all the way up to the top of the first section. And they thought about first row, the second section, just so that they could sell those seats, because the value on those seats courtside is in the thousands of dollars per seat. So they're making a ton of money, so that's why they wanted to move everybody up.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, and the UFC is smart about this. They know that the media is a big reason why they're popular. They're the coverage that they have gotten from, you know, MMA media and the hardcore media. I think in a way they take care of the media for that very reason. And they do have overflow seating where they'll just give you a ticket. You'll just sit in the stand somewhere.
Okay.
But they do have three rows of about 20 seats each. So there's like 60 seats where you sit. It's pretty much cage side. I mean, you can hear the, when someone gets punched, you hear it. Like, you can hear the thuds and the slaps really well. But if you are covering a fight, it's a really good place to be.
Okay.
And except for there's blind spots. So it's sometimes it is better to be a certain distance high. Because when you're cage side, unless you're at the cage, which I used to be for like legacy fights, unless you're right at the cage, there are blind spots.
Well, and I'll say this too. The popularity, that's great that they can do that with tickets and everything else and still maximize revenues without having to move people up, because they became the highest grossing event ever at Toyota Center.
Crazy, right?
With what happened Saturday night. So that's a huge deal. One of my buddies who's in charge of that for the UFC was letting me know that over the course of the weekend, and I thought that was really cool. He used to be in the ticket department for the Rockets, and now what he's doing and to come back to his former venue and have that happen shows you what it means not only for the sport but also for the city of Houston. I heard when Dana White was on with AJ, and AJ was bringing up, you know, the times that they've been to Houston and the memorable bouts that have happened and matches and all that other things, all those things. Then you talk about the revenue. They have to want to come back as soon as possible.
Well, you almost had another memorable bout. You almost had John Jones losing. I had him winning that fight, but it was close. And if you would have told me, Reyes, if the judges, and we need to talk about judges in Texas.
Well, you sure do.
But if I had it 48-47, John Jones, because my thought on this was, I had it even going into the fifth round. I gave the first two rounds to Reyes, and I gave rounds three and four to John Jones. Round three was close to me. John Jones definitely won round four, and in my eyes, Reyes won one and two. But round five, if you're Reyes, you have to come out and win the title. You can't come out and just not do anything or be even. You have to go out and beat the champion in order to be the champion. And he didn't do that, and that's why I think he lost the
round. I was going to ask you if I could guess, because I'm not the aficionados that you guys are. But the one thing that I took away from that was, in the final round, when everything was on the line, the aggressor was John Jones.
And somebody else said that on Twitter, that he was the aggressor. Just because you're walking forward doesn't mean you're the aggressor necessarily. Right. There's a lot of counterpunching and
sure,
gamesmanship that goes into that. He was more aggressive in the final round. I do agree with that. But don't mistake just him walking forward as being the aggressor.
But to me, it looked like he felt more of a sense of urgency. Like, he was. This one, like, my ass might be on the line here. This might be getting away from me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there was a little bit of panic because he knew he was in a fight after rounds one and two.
I think that's the very first round. I mean, because he got dropped in the first round. You saw, if you know anything about John Jones, the look that he has on his face when he's in a fight is, I know what you're about to do next. Mm-hmm. He did not have that look
he
in
was
that
a little
fight
nervous
at all, because you could tell that he recognized the power of Reyes, and he also knew that Reyes will find. He's technical enough to find him and make contact. And I think that scared him from the very beginning.
I thought Reyes had a really good game plan, and I thought he executed it. I think he just ran out of gas. I think if his cardio was better and he was still able to execute in that fifth round, I certainly could have seen him winning that fight. And we need to talk about TDLR and the Texas judging. It's awful.
Well, Dana felt
as
that
usual,
way, too.
It was. I mean, I'm sitting cage side, and I was telling this guy next to me from SureDog that covers the fights and was doing their play-by-play on Twitter. I said, dude, you don't understand. I've known these judges for years, and they are great people, but they're old school boxing judges that had to learn how to judge MMA, and they're just not good at it. And they're not evolving with the sport. Like, nowadays, it used to be in MMA when you judged and someone got a takedown, that could win a round. And you'd be like, oh, takedown, you won the round, right? Like, we saw, John Jones even said, yeah, but I got a bunch of takedowns. But you didn't do anything with it. And that's the more modern way of scoring MMA is, once you get a takedown, if you do nothing with it or they stand right back up, it's really just like throwing a jab.
But you guys are there in the arena. I'm watching on TV, And I believe it was Rogan or whoever was doing the analysis work was commenting throughout the different matches going, the judge isn't even looking right now.
Yeah.
The middle of the fight, he's not looking. What's he doing? Now two of them are talking. And he's doing play-by-play on the fact that the judges weren't paying attention.
They really are there. And again, I know most of them, and they're very nice people. But some of them are just not good at this. And I don't remember who it was that scored at 49-46, Jones?
He's talking about four rounds to one for Jones. I know who that is. That's actually what I wanted to get into. But that's Joe Solis. Joe Solis is a guy that's actually a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Yeah. I trained under Joe Solis and his son.
I went and said hi to him.
Jason Solis as well. Yeah. And I think it's crazy that he scored it four rounds to one. But at the end of the day, it's not like it was going to change. Like, I scored it three rounds to two for Reyes.
Okay.
But if you scored it for John Jones three rounds to two, I'm not going to sit here and call you an idiot. 4-1 might have been a bit excessive, but it's not from a boxing guy. It's a guy that's literally a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So the point of Joe Rogan pointing out the fact that they weren't paying attention, that to me is what is the killer. The fact that they were not even looking at certain... And the takedown, by the way, when John Jones goes for a takedown that late in a fight, that's not him mixing it up. That's him... That's kind of a panic mode move because he knew that the striking game wasn't winning. He wasn't winning the striking game. But going back to Joe Solis, I can't believe he scored it four rounds to one, but he's not a boxing guy. He's a jiu-jitsu guy, and that's crazy.
He was a boxing guy, I think.
Yeah, but he has a black belt in Brazil. My point is he's not just a boxing guy.
True, but here's part of the problem, though. A lot of these guys, like there's one, I don't want to say, I didn't want to name names just because I know these guys, and I feel bad for kind of throwing them under the bus, but it is an issue. And you've got guys that aren't evolving with the sport. They've always been like a little bit behind when it comes to judging a fight. And so now you'll see, and this is in Texas. I'm not talking in general. I'm talking just in Texas with Texas judging. Now you'll see a guy where if there's a takedown, that to them, that's equivalent of a knockdown when it's really not anymore in the sport. Now, if you get a takedown and do nothing with it, it's basically like you landed a jab. Yes, you landed something, but it wasn't that effective. It wasn't that big of a deal. It didn't materially affect the fight. And in years past, if the round was close, your corner, all they told you was get a takedown. Not do anything with it, not go for a submission, just get a takedown, you'll win the round. And people have said, look, that's not that big of a deal anymore. So we've moved away from that, but that's how it was judged, it seems like. And John Jones was right. He got takedowns. He just didn't do a whole lot with them at some point. Reyes was blocking a lot of his strikes on the ground. I just thought it was a really close fight. I just don't see how you did it four rounds to one, 49-46. But like you said, Nick, if you had it three rounds to two Reyes, I'm not arguing with that. There were two rounds in this fight that were very close. They could have went either way.
Right.
It was a difficult. In fact, this will tell you something about Texas judging. This was the guy from SureDog, I think his name is Jay. Jay told me he had the database. He had the SureDog database like on an Excel spreadsheet. So, you know, I was like, yeah. But he had every fight in the UFC all the way back to UFC 1 in this spreadsheet and the results of every fight. And he said, he pulled it up and showed me there were five split decisions, which tied the record for split decisions in the UFC. There's only been two cards in the history of the UFC where there were five split decisions. If that would have been a split decision in the main event, that would have set the record for split decisions. Split decisions tells you that the judges aren't on the same page. They're not all seeing the same fight, and that's a problem.
All right, we're just getting started, so plenty more to come out of the UFC fights this weekend at Toyota Center. Lots to talk about in terms of the Rockets. Hopefully you haven't drank your red Kool-Aid, you've had your coffee, and you're ready to discuss what's going on with that squad. We've got some XFL we can get into, and a whole lot more. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest and you want to join it, come on in, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call or text that number. Hit us on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Okay, here we go. Just the second segment of the show on a Monday in the big city. And boy, was it a big weekend. If you were in H-Town, a lot of stuff going on. The first ever game for your Roughnecks. The UFC is where we started because that was a major, major event at Toyota Center. And I, like I said, and Houston came out the better for having it here in our fine city as it became the top grossing event in the history of the Toyota Center. And there's been some pretty big concerts and events in that building. That's impressive.
Yeah.
The fights themselves seem to be very impressive. And so it was a good weekend overall. The Sabercats got their win as we are a home for the Sabercats rugby. We need to point that out as well. And, of course, we'll get to the Rockets at some point, too, and the Kool-Aid-drinking Red Nation fans that just think this team is headed for a championship. So we've got plenty to get to, but let's continue where we left off, and that was the event Saturday night at Toyota Center.
Not a good night for Texas fighters overall. And I know Derek got a win, and that one was a lot closer than it should have been.
Yep.
A lot closer.
Crew Bob had a pretty good night.
Crew Bob didn't have a bad night at all. Yeah, Murphy got a win. Yep. Also a close fight.
Boy, was it.
A lot of people didn't think she won that fight. You know, did Derek get a little hometown cooking? Because that was, I thought it was a really close fight. But yeah, I think AJ had texted me that the Texas fighters started 0-5 until Trevin Giles stepped up and got the win and kicking it off. I mean, Domingo Pilarte, I love that dude, but boy, he got starched. I mean, starched. And Morano, the same thing. And I was so, like, Morano's my guy, dude. That's one of the nicest dudes ever. And to see him get KO'd like that, too, was so disappointing. It sucks when you know these guys. It's cool, but it sucks in a way, because then when they lose, you're like, man, you feel so disappointed for them. Because you know, I was thinking about this. You know, like, the three of us do radio, and we put ourselves out there. We give takes, and we catch heat for it, right? Same thing like with comedy. Yeah, you wouldn't know anything about that, would you, with the Rockets? On. Same thing like comedy. You go up, you do a set, and sometimes you bomb, and it's embarrassing. But could you imagine going out and getting knocked out in front of 20,000 people? And you're just the emotions that you must feel, the how it must affect your pride, and my heart breaks for these dudes when you think of it like that.
It sucks if you're going to lose especially in front of your hometown crowd. Yeah. Oh, my God. In front of your family, friends. That is the most devastating. I mean, for someone like Alexander Gustafsson, who when he went back home to Sweden, golly, mm-hmm. for him to lose in front of his mm-hmm. home country like that, that was devastating. And it's hard to come back from, but it's the way it is.
By the way, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, well, I think I was wrong. I don't know. I've tried to look it up, but I don't know if Joel Solis was a boxer. I thought he was a boxing ref, and he may have been a judge before MMA and still been an MMA guy. Maybe that's what I was thinking. But you're right. I couldn't find
like
it,
literally so when I may
be thinking of the wrong guy.
When I went to Big John McCarthy's seminar, I went to go become a MMA judge and MMA referee. He was the guy. Joe Solis was the guy that got me through all the 125 some odd moves that you had to know in order to pass the Big John McCarthy test.
Yeah.
It was Joe Solis.
Yeah.
So they know their jiu-jitsu. Now I'm pretty sure he has
walk me through this.
Boxing background.
How do they get selected? Because UFC has gotten to be so big and so popular, and it's so important. The whole refereeing is one thing. The judging aspect is even that's also hyper important. How do these people then get selected to be in a position like that to judge about that's that big?
Well, the problem that there's two problems. Number one, the commission was already in existence before MMA. So a lot of these guys existed in the commission from boxing, and it kind of translated over to the MMA realm because they're already a part of that commission. You know, the other thing is Texas doesn't get that many big fights to begin with. So they don't have the reps to regulate and oversee big fights like the UFC brings to the table all the time because they don't come to Texas that much.
So what you have to understand is the way that it works is the UFC doesn't hire their judges. The states provide judges to the judges in MMA bouts for the UFC and for any other fight that you go to locally are licensed by the state. So every time the UFC goes to a new state, they get judges that are licensed in that state. So if you come to Texas, you get Texas licensed judges, just like you get referees that are licensed. Now, the UFC will have, you know, Damir Liotta and Big John McCarthy or why can't I think of him? My favorite dude. He looks like Rasta. I'm forgetting his name. But all their referees that you're normally used to seeing on pay-per-views are licensed in every state. Herb Dean. Are licensed in every state. So that's why you see them. But they still had to go get licensed in those states in order to referee those fights. So what you saw in this pay-per-view, which I really liked, was, yes, it was Texas judges. But there were also several Texas referees. Jeff Rexroad, who is also a former fighter. You might recall, or Google this if you're not a big fight fan, the Rex angle. Jeff pulled off an amazing submission that was really creative that went viral. And you know how the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu guys will break down different moves you see? And they broke down the Rex angle when he did it in Legacy. So look that up. But Jeff Rexroad, local policeman, former fighter, is now a referee in the state of Texas and got to referee the main card at UFC, which is a big deal. And he did a great job. He did a great job. And so, you know, it's cool to see that, but I think we have to get to that point in judging. And rest in peace to Chris Reed, former police officer who passed away, former fighter. He was also a guy that was instrumental in trying to move TDLR forward and make it better. And he was a judge and a referee trying to get this thing into the 21st century. And so, you know, he did a lot. Unfortunately, he's not with us anymore. But that's why. Because the judges are provided by the state. So unless they do the same with judges that they do with refs, it's not going to happen. So you're going to get – that's why Dana was so pissed. He's like, look, the state has things they need to work out. But the reason that, you know, you're able to get the referees is because it's like, hey, we need these guys in the cage.
Does something like what just happened Saturday night and the controversy around it make sure that change happens before they come
not
back?
Not in the state of Texas. Do you know, like, I've been covering MMA in the state of Texas since 2010, and it's in the last 4 years maybe, it's gotten better. It's still far behind a lot of other states. But it has gotten better.
Okay. So. All right, we'll continue to move on. Lots more to get to, and we'll still probably have a few comments about the UFC. Then we'll get to some other things, and of course, you're always welcome to join us. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line, call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff doing a fantastic job here in Houston, Texas. I made the switch about 3.5 years ago, just re-upped with them. Lots of listeners have hit me up and also signed up, and they could not be happier they did. You can, too. It's quite simply the best customer service you're going to find, and believe me, the Public Utilities Commission of Texas thinks so, too. 5 out of 5 stars from the PUCT. That's the best you can get. That's because they take care of their customers. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them because they're going to make sure that you get the best rate and the best plan possible, whether it be for your business or your family. Check them out, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Or, of course, you can log on to infuseenergy.com, but I encourage you to call because you're going to get a live operator and not an automated system, and they're going to pinpoint the best deal and rate possible for you. You also get a little added bonus for hearing about it right here on ESPN. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, $25 bill credit on your first bill. That's always attractive. And then they'll take you through all the options. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. I encourage you, infuse energy into your life.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half hour of The Usual Suspects starts right now on ESPN 97.5. You're home for Roughnecks Football. Barry? And other things as we...
Yeah. Okay, I deserve that. Let me tell you what happened and why he said that, jerk. So I go to pick up AJ. We drove together to see the fights. And I told him, I was like, I'll swing by and grab you. I pick him up and I was like, what were you doing in there? First of all, he comes out with a bandage wrapped around his head like a mummy. I like, you know, remember in like... If you watch the Three Stooges and one of them had a toothache, they would wrap a bandage around their whole mouth and head. That's what it looked like. I was like, bro. He's like, I call myself shaving. I was like, on your head? He's like, yeah. I was like, that seems like, why don't you just use an electric razor?
God, your imitation is spot on.
Doesn't get it close. I was like, dude, okay. And it was like this huge. So we had to stop and get him Band-Aids, first of all. But I was like, what were you doing? He's like, watching the XFL. I was like, oh, yeah? He goes, yeah, were you watching it? I said, no, I didn't really care. I'll be honest with you. I forgot. It wasn't high on my priority list. He goes, oh, cool. So we get in the car, drive, and he goes, well, let's listen to the game. I was like, okay, that's fine. What station is it on?
My God, man.
He looks at me and goes, really? I was like, what? Oh! I completely forgot. I don't know why.
Not shocking.
That just shows you how stupid I am. Like, just what a dumbass I am. That I literally was like, yeah, we can put it on. What station is it on? And he just goes, really? I was like,
wow.
And for a second, I was like, what? Oh. So, yeah, that's why Joel.
And it's funny that he cut himself shaving because that's not the first time I remember he did that in Vegas once and he had a big-ass Band-Aid on the top of his head.
That's what he said.
He's like, you really can't see it, right? I'm like, yeah. You can see the Band-Aid, bro. It's
really
like this big.
You can't see it, right? As pasty white as you are, yeah, you can see the tan Band-Aid. And he said he always does it on the road or when he's going somewhere or something. I find that to be hilarious. But
wow.
Do you have that problem, Nicholas?
No, I don't take a razor to my...
You just do an electric razor?
I just use a trimmer, yeah.
Okay, that's smart.
Yeah.
Good job.
Okay.
So did you guys watch?
I did.
Did you? And?
I really did.
Did you watch?
The XFL?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
Thoughts?
I thought that there was a lot of innovations that the NFL can capitalize on. I was worried about the brand of football. And I didn't think it was as bad as I was expecting. It obviously wasn't to the level of NFL, but I think that there were good aspects to it. But I think that the things that they've added to it, and they're going to learn, and it's going to go a week-by-week process of trying to learn the do's and the don'ts and the ins and the outs. I thought that the fact that the refs were mic'd and the replay booth was mic'd was outstanding. Because now, especially, there was one play where the safety for the Roughnecks just absolutely... rocked the world of a receiver for LA.
Mm-hmm.
And in the NFL, it probably would have been a targeting penalty and we never would have heard the discussion. But literally, it was awesome to hear from referee to the booth and booth back to the referee talk about, no, he led with the shoulder. No, he didn't target the head. No, he just tried to dislodge the football. We're not going to call that. And I was like, that's pretty cool. But then there's also interesting things that they're going to learn from. Diana Rossini thought she was going to be really cool because you're supposed to have access at all times to the players. She tried to get in the middle after a touchdown celebration. It didn't go well.
No.
While guys were kicking and doing their dances and she's going, and just trying to stick the microphone in there and like, nope, not the time.
So I switched when I got home yesterday from the taping and was just hanging out and trying to find something to watch. XFL was on, so I was like, well, let me just take a look. And it was Tampa and whoever Tampa played. I don't remember. And I got about 5 minutes in. I was like, it's okay. I get it. You know that, look, if these guys were really good at football, they'd be in the NFL. So it's almost like, and somebody messaged the show and really had a good point. They said they're excited about the XFL. Every league needs a junior league. Like the NFL now has the XFL. The UFC had Bellator.
The NBA has G League.
The Usual Suspects have the Blitz. That was LU Dillon. That's not nice, Dillon.
Wow. That was not us, by the way, that said that.
No, I'm just, they know we're messing with
it.
But look, it's true. It is absolutely true. You had Legacy or Bellator and Bellator is really not a feeder league to the UFC. So it's not the same. But Legacy, WEC was, you have the G League. You have, you know, in a way, the CFL was a feeder league to the NFL for a while, mm-hmm. in as much, but really it's more college. But yeah, I think there's room for it. You're just going to, I don't know. The play I saw was like,
then later you got to be careful what you wish for too, because Diana Rossini got one of the offensive linemen coming off the field and there was a lot of extracurriculars after the whistle and he just cussed.
Yeah.
He's like, we're not going to take any more of that S. And it was like, whoops, got that one in there too.
That's the other thing is they should probably have it on a delay.
Yep.
Probably need it on a 7 second
delay.
That's what I'm saying. But I didn't see much gimmicky stuff. Maybe I just didn't stick around, but I was like, I did see one sideline reporter try to get an interview and the guy was going back in the game. She goes, hey, I wanted to ask you. He goes, I'm going back in the game, and he just ran off.
Yeah.
Like, wow, that was awkward.
They're obviously still working out some of the kinks.
Yeah, of course. It's the first game.
That's right.
It's
that's why I said on a week-to-week basis, they'll probably alter these things and have some production meetings to say, don't try and get the live interview. Like, everybody was upset because, first of all, the hook on quarterbacks was quick. In all these games, If you were a starting quarterback and you didn't play well, doesn't matter what your name was, they weren't afraid to yank you. And then there were people mad because the sideline reporter didn't go talk to the quarterback that just got yanked out of the game. You got to know your limits, right? You can't be doing that because you know you're not going to get anything other than what you're probably trying to get, which is some kind of a quote that, you know, and the sport's not dumb enough to take that kind of a hit.
Right.
But overall, the thing that really I questioned the most was, because I think the kickoff concept is interesting, and I think the NFL will look at it. I think the extra point thing and the different varieties that you can do extra points to get extra points is interesting. But I do think one of the things that I questioned was, they're having the offensive and the defensive play callers that are calling in the plays mic'd up so you can hear the play called. If you're scouting teams, don't tell me like in week two or three, if you're playing Houston or whoever, and you hear the play that June Jones called in. Yeah. Don't think that doesn't – this is like a Bill Belichick has a freaking heart on over this. I mean, he's just – I don't know if I can say that or not. Bill Belichick is extremely – Bill Belichick would be giddy over the fact that he doesn't have to work very hard to know exactly what the play call was on offense or defense.
Yeah.
And on defense, it's obviously a bigger deal because you don't have that many defensive play calls. If I know that you're playing that and I see on video what it looks like when you call that, that's not...
Well, you don't need... I mean, to read a defense, you don't need to know the play call. You just need to see where the safeties are and where you think the blitz is coming from, this, that. But knowing play calls and being able to hear that can help you. However... if you're not hearing it live, then you don't know what the play call is. So I don't know if that necessarily helps you. You still have the game film on what they run. And sure, you can attach a name to it. But if you can't hear the name when it's called.
Yeah, but the bigger point is, Barry, if you or I sitting at home or Nick and we're watching these games, it does nothing to enhance the telecast to know what they called that defense. Because they're using terminology and everything like that. Unless you are just a grinder and a, you know, football aficionado, hearing what the coordinators call the plays and call into the plays, I don't think it does anything for the telecast.
I think I would be more interested to have the players mic'd up. And right. I don't know if they are, or the refs, or listen in the huddle. That would be more what I would want to hear. Put it on a 7-second delay. Let me hear what's going on in the offensive huddle. Let me hear the audibles that are being called. Let me hear the defense talking trash. That's the kind of stuff I think that would really be innovative.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I don't think what you're hearing in terms of what the play is called is doing anything for anybody.
Yeah, put a mic on like every other player, and you'll pick up all the sound, and you can you have one feed, you can obviously dump it.
Yeah.
If you needed to.
Yeah, I think what they're doing right now is they're obviously trying to make their product a bit different than the NFL, so they can stand out. And so now they're testing some things, and obviously there's some kinks that we talked about. But I think the other thing is, and this might work against the XFL, is if anything does work out, like if any of these good ideas actually stick, the NFL can just kind of take in that idea and make it one of the, just like Facebook.
That's exactly where I was going.
With some things that they thought, oh, this is going to be technology used by the NFL at some point. The AAF really, as short-lived as it was, had some ideas that the NFL could capitalize on.
But that's where I was
going.
If they
were smart.
If the NFL is smart, don't look at it as a minor league that you can't learn anything from. Because if you look at some of the things that they're trying to implement, and again, you can kind of polish them up and the rough edges are going to be there in the first couple weeks. But you can look at the kickoffs, the extra points. Even from a coverage standpoint, you know your officiating crew and your replay room crew is not going to cuss.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing that is interesting. And by the way, too, if you're going to have a camera and mics in the replay room, I don't care if you're just the girl that's doing the graphics. You might want to clean yourself up a little bit instead of looking like you just got. I mean, the guys in the chick that they kept showing in with the guy making the calls in the replay booth. Looked like she was like she had a t-shirt on and she kept looking through her hair like, is the camera on? And I'm like, come on, man. If you guys are going to be in the booth, at least kind of be wearing XFL gear and all that.
Was everyone else dressed up?
Oh, yeah. The guy doing the replay review had a shirt and tie on.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, don't just pick on her because she's a chick in a t-shirt.
No, I'm not just picking on her. In the different telecasts that you watch.
It was bad all
like,
over.
It's like, be aware that anyone in that room is going to be on TV. If you're going to be on TV, you might want to clean up a little bit more.
Take
it to a different level.
It would be nice.
Yeah.
I feel like overall the excitement from the fans, and that's really what matters. It doesn't matter what the three of us get on the radio and say. What matters is what the fans thought. And I think overall, from what I saw from the suspects and other people I follow on Twitter, they were into it.
You're right.
I don't know how long it's going to last, but they were into it. I know Roughneck fans showed up. They tailgated. They were excited. The Roughnecks were excited to have them.
Did you see, from an attendance standpoint, they weren't going to have the second deck open, and they opened it because they were only expecting in and around, you know, 10 to 15. They went over 17,000, I believe.
Crazy.
So it was great here in Houston.
No one outsold them. I mean, they outsold New York by like a couple hundred tickets.
Yep.
So over 17,000. Good for them. I'm excited for them. I mean, I'm not opposed to this. I'm looking at it from a skeptical view.
I mean, they're spraying out confidence. Like, if you look at their Twitter handle, they have so much confidence. I mean, they talked about the $100,000 reward that they're giving to the winning teams to be split to all the winning teams.
The league or the Roughnecks?
I think the league.
Okay.
I think the league.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're pretty confident.
No, I'm saying which Twitter account?
I think it's the league's Twitter account.
The fans are excited. And again, that is all that matters. If the fans are in, you have a shot.
No doubt. And they won.
Because we can come on here and and talk about how great we liked it, but if the fans aren't going or they're not in, it ain't going to matter.
No, but we know what winning does. But, Nick, you talk about what you saw in terms of fans with these Rockets games. And then you see what you said, Barry, about how they showed up early. They were into it. They were emotionally charged by everything that happened. Could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
So that was week one of the XFL. We'll continue to roll on with hour number one of The Usual Suspects. If you want to join us, please do. Text us, call us, or hit us up on Twitter. Back with more ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, wrapping up hour number one. 3 hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I will notate, especially if you're watching on the Twitch channel, it is extremely light in here today. I don't know if it was a mishap or it was intentionally done, but
they opened the window.
They had sealed up all the windows from light in the studio. And suddenly, one whole window is uncovered, an eighth of another window uncovered, and it makes a world of difference in
the
studio.
Well, you know why? Because that light's out and that one's not that bright anymore. That's why. They had to get extra light for my pretty face.
Well, that would be your explanation.
By the way, to the person that texted the show and said, hey, Nick, I'm going to need you to isolate when Barry said that just shows how stupid I am. Listen, bub, we already got a producer. Back off, pal.
We got several.
Yeah, we have thousands of producers. Yeah. So back off, pal.
I had people trying to tell me that El Jefe. By the way, El Jefe, they were telling me El Jefe is treated like he's a producer. I'm like, most people treat themselves like they're producers. But then, just so that you know, I went to El Jefe's Twitter account, in which he self-proclaims to be Twitter executive producer / digital media designer / PD for The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Well, probably.
I mean, I know you shouldn't be making up.
The first thing that I would say what's wrong with that is someone should normally give you that title, put it on business cards, and you should probably be on the payroll.
He follows it with 99.9% of my tweets are trolling. So it's not like
that's
warn
tweet,
you.
That's not a tweet, sir. That's in his bio.
And he warned you that he's a troll.
Stop trying to stick up for him.
I'm sticking up for El Jefe. Jeez. That's a good dude.
Of course it is, and I know that. But I'm just saying.
I mean, it's not. I don't want people out here making up, you know.
That's just another day on
making
the suspects.
Making up titles.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing, but at least he didn't say he gets paid.
Well, those people that make up titles should be shut down as quickly as possible, because if you can't do it when it just gets going, it's going to get out of hand.
I can't do it.
Okay.
he's lobbying hard for Granato and Nate to get a national gig. He wants them. He took their call and put it on the TV call.
One, he has way too much time on his hands, because he did it with a lot of different calls from the game. Then, two, he is a huge supporter of the station and all the personnel on it, so we love him for that.
Of course.
I don't know if you guys saw this, too, but the receiver at one of the receivers for the Roughnecks at one point lines up in the slot, and right before the ball is snapped, just hurls.
I did see that.
Hard.
Jerome showed me that, and it was disgusting.
Yeah,
and they should have twice. They should have thrown a flag and thrown him out of the game.
Can you imagine?
It was projectile.
Like later in too. The game, if there's another play down on that end of the field and there's a tackle.
You get tackled and vomit? Bro, I'm quitting football.
You got like four guys on top of you. And oh, by the way, the turf smells like what he ate for breakfast.
Speaking of disgusting, at the fights, AJ comes up. He goes, bro. And he tweeted about it. But he goes, dude, I was just in the bathroom and this drunk guy fell next to the urinals. Onto the ground, and there's pee everywhere. Let's be real.
It makes our bathroom here at the Scout Media Sanitary.
This dude fell, but when he fell, he went to catch himself, hand right into the urinal. And they have those blue things with all the little spikes on them that you pee on.
Yeah.
You could see the blue spikes sticking up between his fingers. He mashed it all the way down into the pee. And AJ was just said he was dying, and everyone was like, bro, what? Said the dude gets up, wipes his hand off a little bit on his jeans, pees, and then goes and washes his hands.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say he didn't wash his hands.
And then walks out, but he doesn't even dry his hands. He just, again, dries them on his jeans and leaves. If my hand goes in that urinal, my second thought is not to grab my penis. I'm probably going to just go lop it off. I'm going to get a knife from the kitchen somewhere in the Toyota Center and cut my arm off at the elbow.
We've discussed the rules of how often in a year you wash your jeans. Based on what he just did on those jeans, you should throw them out. Just throw them out.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, LFA did point out you gave him those titles sarcastically.
I don't remember that.
You just sat there roasting the dude for 2 minutes over something did.
Okay, but if people, as we know, if people like self-proclaim things with our show, I can also tongue-in-cheek call them that title that they've basically given themselves, as we know by all the people that claim to be executive producers.
You probably used the words self-proclaimed and then roasted them.
Yeah, and then you just cut that self-proclaimed part out of it and go, well, he called me that. I'm going to isolate that, and then I'm going to keep it for proof while I claim it on my Twitter account.
Listen, dude, you know what? You need to respect your executive producer and PD of the usual suspects.
I respect him as PD a lot more than I expect to respect him as the executive producer. I can tell
you that. Always starting stuff.
Me. Yeah, that's right. All right. Before we get off XFL, Clarence wants to get in here real quick on XFL. Clarence, what's up?
Clarence.
What up, guys? How's it going?
What's up, man?
And Barry, you should not get until you actually go to the game. It was actually quite fun. It had the high school, college kind of vibe. Everyone was just relaxing, having fun, and enjoying a good day of football.
Clarence, do you know how many high school games I go to?
Zero.
None.
Negative.
Do you know why? Because I don't want to watch high school football.
How many college games do you go to, Barry?
I mean,
zero.
A couple a year, maybe.
Lone Star?
Maybe, yeah. I usually catch the Lone Star shenanigans. I don't know what they're called. Not a year. Every couple of years, I went to a U of H game not too long ago.
I was gonna say three in a year. That would be a lot for any of us.
I said a couple, but that's maybe over a couple years.
Okay,
over a couple of years.
Yeah, Clarence. It didn't feel professional. Is that what you're saying? It didn't feel professional.
It is professional. These are guys up here at least trying to lobby to get into the NFL. Come on, we all know what it is. XFL is a great thing that's going. And you know there are some guys who are looking at it like, you know what, this guy can play. This guy, he could be a backup to someone on some NFL team or at least be on a practice squad. And it's a professional league, and you can tell that they're doing things right this time around with the XFL.
I like that.
And the ticket prices are cheaper.
Oh, really?
People are going up. Yeah. Ticket prices are much, much cheaper. People are going just to watch some football and have fun.
I dig that.
It's withdrawal ball. It's for the people going through withdrawals now the NFL is over. They have some place to go to now. And there's nothing wrong with that. And like
you said, it brings all different kind of fans together. I mean, we got Saints fans and Cowboys fans and Packers fans and 49ers fans, all at the game rooting for one team instead of hating on the Cowboys.
Well, there you go. Barry could have just gone with another hometown team and not worried about the Chiefs. Thanks for the call, Clarence. The one thing that I will say, too, is when you're talking about the product, they're not labeling it themselves as anything. They don't want to be the minor league standard. They just want to be a league and see how it's accepted. And that's why I think it's funny that you have Johnny Manziel being elitist. I don't know if you saw this or not, but everybody was like, why isn't Manziel on a roster? Because it would be an opportunity for him to reinvent himself and show he's still engaged, can play, and some team can take a look at him. And he was quick to respond and go, I'm not joining another league that's going to be one and done, done in a year. I've got bigger and better things planned. Bro, you could be bagging groceries like Kurt Warner when he was in the freaking Arena League. Stop thinking that you're a number one draft pick in the NFL and you could just pick your next landing spot in the NFL.
Yeah.
Go show that you can still play a little bit and maybe someone will give you a legit look. Otherwise, just go away.
A couple things. I'm with you. Johnny Manziel thinking he's above the XFL.
Right.
I'm surprised he wouldn't do it just because it has X in the title. He'd be like, hey, do they have drugs over there? Is that what that is? They got Molly and ecstasy?
Well, the other thing is,
not what the X means in XFL. Never mind. But I don't want, look, I think Clarence and others maybe have the idea that I am dogging the, I'm not, I'm just saying I don't want to go or watch it until the product is they tighten it up. That's it.
You're just a hater, basically.
No, I'm not
Clarence
being a hater.
Is saying.
No, I'm glad the fans are excited about it. Like I said before, and I think that was a big hurdle that they were going to have to overcome. Mm-hmm. I was interested to see, though, just as an impartial observer. I'll put it this way. I don't hate the XFL. I'm apathetic right now to the XFL until something catches my attention. Is that fair?
That's fair.
I'm apathetic.
That's fine.
But I did think, okay, all this hype leading up to it, let's see what happens when we see what the product is on the field. Let's see what happens when we see games and we see guys that, how good are they going to be? How bad are they going to be?
And the other thing is, that bigger names would be a bigger draw too. But like Dez Bryant, who's trying to make a comeback, he's already been there, done that, unlike Johnny Manziel, and done it at a high level. His next move is only going to be to play again if an NFL team gives him a look. If you're Johnny and you're trying to prove yourself overall that you belong, take whatever opportunity you can get.
I think if the XFL is smart, they also incorporate a lot of minor league baseball into what they do.
Sure.
Because that's why you go to minor league baseball. You're not going for the stars because maybe one out of every nine guys on the field is going to be a star one day. You go because it's a fun fan experience. And if they do that, they might be around for a while.
It's a great call. All right, that's a good way to wrap up hour number one, 3 hour show. Still 2 hours to go. You want to join us? 713-780-3776. Call us, text us, hit us on Twitter. Hour two right around the corner, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.